for live rock and roll. We're open from 4 p.m. until 2 a.m. Monday through Thursday. Bar and Grill. We've got Whiskey Wednesday, Tequila Tuesday, and we've always got the... Drop by the bar, make some friends. Thanks, folks. Bender's Bar and Grill in the heart of the Mission District. San
Francisco. 7 p.m. Don't miss it. Go to Bender's Bar. Big supporter of the Mutiny Radio Comedy Festival 2018.
Oh, yeah. It goes down. Come smoke with your boy. Grinder.
Spark is San Francisco's premier cannabis dispensary with a focus on serving and educating patients for 7 years. Spark is dedicated to creating the best in-store experience with its extensive menu, friendly staff, and one of the few cannabis vape lounges in San Francisco. Spark welcomes you to visit its two great locations as a medical patient or for recreational adult use in 2018. Spark is located at 1256 Mission Street between 8th and 9th and at 473 Haight Street at Fillmore. Both locations are open until 10 p.m. every night. Spark staff looks forward to serving you.
All right, everybody. Hey, we're getting ready for the Sparkcast right now here at Spark. Super excited. Every Tuesday from 8 to 9 here at their Mission location tonight, we have Warhol Kaufman, Annette Mullaney, Clay Newman. Very excited. I'm your host, Pam Benjamin. We're going to get started here at Spark in just a second. Yay! 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 We're getting our vaporizer set up for our... Got to have our... Talking about... Today's product highlight is the Marigold, all outdoor grown. Super excited to smoke it tonight. Tonight's theme is Mecki Schwag, baby, low shelf. What did we used to do back in the day? But hey, Spark has really affordable options for you guys. One of them being what we're going to smoke tonight, 21% THC. It is the Marigold, all outdoor grown. So we're going to get started in Sparkcast in just a minute. Yay! Awesome. Perfect. Oh, are we allowed to smoke? Right. Oh, wow. So it's specific nights of the week. Wow, cool. Hey, something to remark at Spark, Friday, Saturday, Sunday from 4:20 to closing. You can smoke pipes in here, not just their vaporizers. What an exciting thing to learn here at Spark from 4:20 on until closing at 10 o'clock at both of their locations. You can smoke pipes Friday, Saturday, Sunday. How exciting. Yay! All right. Hey, everybody. It's 8 o'clock. Yay! It's 8 o'clock on Tuesday at Spark. We're all here. Woohoo! It's time for the Sparkcast here at Spark. I'm really excited about tonight's theme because it's very near and dear to my heart. It's Mecki Schwag. Anybody else grow up in San Diego? Anywhere near? We were talking to a Canadian tonight, and I was like, oh, the theme is Mecki Schwag. She's like, I don't know what that word means. I'm like, oh, you're from Canada. That's good. But yeah, Mecki Schwag is what we used to call it back in 92, I don't know, in San Diego. It was the stuff that came from Mexico, and it had seeds, and you were like, I'm going to make butter out of this and try to make it into brownies. Some people just threw it straight into their brownies. We had no idea what we were doing in 92. You know what I mean? They're just throw the weed, and it's a crunchy, gross. But Mecki Schwag, terrible stuff. But now, even here at Spark, even their low shelf is top shelf. Tonight for our product highlight, we're smoking the Marigold, which is outdoor grown. It's really affordable, and it has 21% THC. And the stuff we smoked last week was the Island Punch Kush or something like that, and it had 21% THC too. So we're gonna just check it out.
Island Skunk Kush.
Island Skunk Kush, poop stuff. I don't have any idea how you make up weed name strains, but I'm very excited. to so we can use the vaporizer over here. What does it smell like, Jonathan?
I don't know. I can
smell it.
I don't know.
He's gonna smell it.
Smells like weed.
Smells like weed. Jonathan, if you want to ask a professional grower a question, you can always come up with a question and ask him. He's been growing for many, many years. He's been growing indoors. We've also grown outdoors. We together have grown outdoors. We did a 100 plant outdoor grow. It was 100 plants, wink, wink. It was more than 100 plants. But we did an outdoor grow with the sun, and it was beautiful, and it really yielded some high CBD stuff. We were doing an AC/DC grow at that time, so it's very exciting. So there's a vaporizer over there. We've got to get a kit from over here. We got to ask for the kit. We got to do the thing. We're going to move it over there to the vaporizer and set it up. I don't trust Jonathan, though, because I think that last week our vaporizer was cued too low on the, it's got to be at like 360. Does anybody know how vaporizers work? They all do. They're here. They're professionals. Your first comedian tonight, he's a professional. He's an amazing human being. He has a show he has to go to later at Elixir. It's pub quiz. So if you guys like to answer questions about stuff, you should see this guy. He's hilarious. You're going to love him. Everybody put your hands together for Clay Newman. Yay! We'll work out this whole vaporizer thing.
So are we doing this podcast style? Are you going to sit down and talk with me, or am I doing a set?
Yeah.
Let's do that. Let's make it a conversation. That sounds more fun. Do we have another mic? Or just share this bad boy?
No, we can't. We have to flip it.
All right.
So, I tried to come up with a splitter, and I couldn't figure it out. I need two more pieces of equipment.
It's all right. I'm very loud, so I could just put it closer to you, and it'll be okay.
Perfect.
So we're talking about, what did you call it again? What shitty weed were you from?
Mecki Schwag.
That's like his close to being racist while still being adorable as you can get. Like, that's still condescending towards Mexican weed for sure, but like, Mecki's a pretty cute slur.
Yeah, Mecki, what did you call it when you were little?
Just like Steve's weed. Like, there's just one guy where, like, if you got shitty weed, it's like, fucking Steve again. I don't know why this guy doesn't try harder. Bammer weed for sure. I've heard that before.
I like Steve's weed. That's a good name for a band.
Fuck it, Steve's weed. Yeah.
Somebody named Steve might
think
that kind of personally.
Yeah, maybe. That's just a vague enough name to where, like, hopefully Steve would be like, it's probably a different Steve.
Yeah.
If it was like, I don't know, if we went like Esteban or something, we might be getting closer.
But it's a great internal rhyme there. Steve's weed. Like, you're using that elongated E sound and you're doing some assonance. That's nice.
Yeah. Oh, there's like infinite band shirts you can do with Steve Weed. That'd be a fun band. I'd see them for sure. You think of prog rock? Prog rock for Steve's weed?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Now the prog rocker, like, reggae's too on the nose. Like, Steve's weed, like, reggae bands are never really like, they're never really named like weed strains. They've got kind of vague names. It's always a little more like religious than I would think. Like, they're smoking such good weed that they actually see God. It's, I don't know. I gotta get my hands on some Rasta weed, I guess. So what's like, is there a strain that's shitty to you that's just like, no, get that away?
I mean, Thai stick is old school and it looks like Mecki Schwag, right? It looks dry and all together. And all the old strains, right?
Tide stick or Thai stick?
Thai. Thai stick.
Oh, okay. Oh, why couldn't they give that one a fun, like, racist name too? Like, Mecki weed, like, little Thai Thai weed. There's not really a strain that throws me off. You'd think when you call something like cat piss that it wouldn't be very good, but that's always been like one of the best weeds I've had is cat piss. There's no like, it. I'm sure I'm not the first person to think this, but there's got to be a direct correlation between how awful the name of the weed is and how good that fucking weed is. Because if you smoke this, you're like, I'm going to be a businessman. I'm going to sell this product. I want people to buy it. I want them to think of this product and be happy. Cat piss. It can only be called cat piss.
Is that a real weed strain name? I've never heard of cat piss.
Oh yeah, cat piss is out there. Named after, as you might imagine, its odorous resemblance to the smell of cat piss. It's little on the nose. It's like when a skunk actually smells like a skunk. It's unpleasant that it smells like cat piss, but you get really, really high. It's a lot of fun.
I am, my mind is blown. What's your other favorite strain of weed?
I mean, just as like a tourist, it's fun when it's really, really purple. You get like the giant orange hairs on there. I like the real like Halloween-y looking weed. Like the weed that if I had a friend from Alabama come in, he'd be like, what the fuck is that? Like if I had a Snoop Dogg video, that's crazy. But I don't really have a particular strain. I like the cheapest weed on the menu. That's doable. Like there's still like at some point it's like, okay, I get why this is $5 an eighth, but like $16 eighth, okay, we're talking. I'll smoke this shit. I smoke mostly spliffs anyway, so if I have shitty weed, it's not the end of the world. I'm putting tobacco in there. Like it is, if you're making grilled cheese, you can't worry about having like gourmet fucking cheese on there. Just throw some Kraft slices, it's fine. It's still delicious. You're still gonna put butter on it because you're a fatty.
What, once you put pickles on, what the fuck are you doing? You know, you've
you put pickles on your grilled cheese?
Sometimes.
Oh, that's nuts. I'm a grilled, I guess like if I'm feeling real sassy, I'll slip some avocado in there, but I'm kind of a purist when it comes to grilled cheese. Just like you go cheese, obviously, bread, a little butter on the outside, and then some Parmesan if you got it. That's a good way to go. That's a good way to cheese. But I've never thought to do pickles before.
Pickles, but you gotta, and maybe some jalapenos, or maybe even go crazy, like go over the pepperoncini, right?
That actually sounds pretty good. Yeah, I mean, I've never been to a Melt, but there's a whole little mini chain in San Francisco called the Melt, and I'm assuming the menu is not like one item long. Like I'm assuming they have multiple types of grilled cheese. That just seems one of those things that whenever there's like a grilled cheese themed food truck or something, like they've got the grilled cheese, pretty cool. Grilled cheese with a hamburger patty in there. That's okay. That's a cheeseburger now, but that's fine. And then the rest of it, they just like gave up on coming up with good ideas, like waffles instead of bread. Like why? Why did you do that? You just have a hamburger stand. I think that's what you wanted this whole time.
My buddies at Burning Man had a thing called Kamikaze Quesadilla, and they had a golf cart, but on the back of it they'd put, you know, burners or whatever, and they owned a cheese shop in San Diego, so they took all their leftover cheese bits and the playa, and they made grilled cheese sandwiches like in a cart.
Ooh.
Yeah, and there were no drugs in them, but I feel like at that point cheese is drugs.
Dude, leftover cheese bits. Also a good band name. That's not bad. Or at least like that's the first album for our prog rock band earlier. Fuck, I already forgot what it was called.
It's called The String Cheeses.
With Steve's Weed. That's right. This is I already had one chance at a callback and I blew it. This is terrible. I'm not getting booked after this.
Clay Newman will always get booked.
Yeah, that's probably true. I have nowhere else to be. Except I like that you called my trivia night a show. That's very sweet of you, Pam. I will say there, like, I've been to many comedy shows and open mics before trivia and then gotten more laughs at trivia. Like, it's easy. Like, it's like prop comedy. Sometimes, like, trivia is just my straight man. They ask a dumb question, I shoot it right back down.
You get to be Alex Trebek.
Yeah, no, I'm just drunk Alex. I'm drunker Alex Trebek. Like, I'm pretty sure he's drunk. Nobody.
True Alex Trebek.
Nobody with that mustache is sober. Like, nobody wakes up, like, sober, is happy with that decision to have a fucking mustache on his face like Trebek's his whole career. Or maybe he just had, like, a fucked up lip. I don't know. Like, maybe something was going on with the mustache. But I'm finally getting more aggressive in trivia. Like, I'm sick of fucking techies shoving their phones in my face and be like, actually, beryllium is number 37 on the periodic table. And like, actually, you just lost 5 points because that's how Clay's trivia. Yeah, exactly right, you fucking nerd. It's awesome too because every other week the bartender writes the questions, and if you give the bartender shit, you don't get drinks anymore. It's like I'm pretty jealous of his power, but. Yeah, come on. I won't yell at you if you come to trivia night. You should hang out. I'm actually not above cheating. I don't have a single friend that's ever hung out at trivia. I tell everybody, just fucking cheat. Yeah, you'll get at least third place. Second if you earn it. But yeah, I don't care about those people. Did we do it?
Yeah, we did.
We did it. Oh, thank you for hanging with me, Pam.
Yay. Clay Newman, go see him at Elixir. I'm going to go play some trivia there because my categories are ballet, the Bible, and weed knowledge. Funny enough, You want to put weed in a food? Just to ask me. You put your weed in there. It's great. Your next comedian tonight. Yeah, go buy some stuff. She's an amazing human being. You can see her tonight at La Rocca's. You should just leave here and go right there. She's hilarious. She also runs an open mic every Monday at the Saloon. It's called the Coolest LL Cool Mic. LL Cool Mic instead of LL Cool J. Everybody, Annette Mullaney.
Thank you. Thank you. I really like this interview thing.
Yeah, sure.
I love it.
You can tell a story or you can interview, whatever you want.
Oh, this is great. I don't have any experience with Mecki swag whatsoever. The first time I ever bought weed was in a dispensary. Thank you. Thank you. It's not that I'm young. I just only started recently buying weed. Before that, I was a woman and got all the free weed I needed. But actually, I'm pretty sure growing up that the weed in Michigan was terrible, but I never really smoked it that much. From like high school through college, I would smoke weed once a year. As soon as it hit, I would remember that it was terrible. And then I would go stand in a corner of the party until the feeling left. Sometimes I'd leave the party. Like I could not smoke weed until I was 26 without going insane. So it's so fresh and new. Although recently it's now insane again. So I'm trying to work through that.
Were there things happening in your life that made it insane? And are there things happening again? Is it like, because was it that you were smoking weed and it made you think about things and you're like, oh my God, these things are too hard to think about? Or
I think it was just racing thoughts. I think I think I'm not smoking enough weed. I got out of the habit recently, and then every time I smoke, it'll be like twice a month, and it's no, I can't go 0 to 100. Gotta go 20, 40, gotta ease my way up there. So I'm on a graduated weed diet plan to get back in the game.
So do you, are you counting like how many tokes you take, or are you doing edibles? How are you sort of dealing with this titration?
Definitely doing tokes, and I'll stop before I want to, right? Because I used to be one of those people that's like, kill me. See if the weed can kill me. Put as much in me, and then let's go do an interview. I'm excited. I had an ongoing game with a lot of my friends where I would show up to events, and they had to guess if I were high or not, because you could never tell. Like 10 a.m. christening, might show up high, might not. Party, might show up sober. And I was distressingly good at that game. Like, I don't know if that, at the time I interpreted it as I was so good at being high, but in retrospect, it might be that I'm bad at being sober. I don't, like, I'm really spacey. I'm not sure.
So the reason that I smoke copious weed is that life is very boring without it. So it's interesting for me to see that you smoked at the place where, like, it's too insane. I have to back off of it. Where I'm coming from, the place like, ugh, I want everything to be in technical. Like, but how do you pick out your father-in-law's coffin without being high? Do you know?
I mean, that sounds inherently interesting. I think the problem is life, while sober, is too interesting, for me at least. Like at any moment, I walk into a room and I clock where the emergency exits are, and then I'm on point for the fire beginning. Like fire, earthquake, kidnapping, murder. That's the four thoughts always running through my head. Throw a little weed in there. It's not a good, it's a fire on kindling situation. Like cannot enjoy a movie because I'm just on edge, ready to save everyone as soon as the fire violence breaks out.
Where are the exits at Spark?
Right over there. I'm pointing. There's one in the back. That's the closest one.
Yeah.
Where would you? Okay, now, earthquake hits right now.
Aww,
tiny cute dog. Where would you go if an earthquake hit right now?
Under
what's your
table.
Plan?
But this would be the wrong table.
This is the wrong table. Under that table.
Under that table.
Away from that glass. Although I don't like this thing. I don't.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't like that overhanging thing. But these tables look pretty sturdy. I'd go underneath them. Stay away from the windows. I do this in every room I go into. Yeah, it's medical condition.
And you do this before you smoke weed?
Oh, I'm 100% sober right now.
100%. You should go try the...
No, I do not, because I'm going to bike through the streets of San Francisco, and there's times when biking high... I used to love it. It was like being in a video game. Used to be like, boo, 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 weaving through cars. Now, sometimes I'll get off and walk. I'm like, this is too dangerous. Biking high, this is unsafe. So I've changed.
You're trying to tour de France through the city of San Francisco, and there's those weird scooter things. They're on the sidewalk. They're in the way. They don't know what's going on. They're in the going the wrong way down a one-way street. What's happening?
They are death traps. Absolute death traps. Yeah. This city, I tell you, it is worse now.
How long have you lived here?
6 years. 6 years. So not long enough actually to say this, but it's true, damn it. I mean, you move in and 6 months later, the city's changed enough that you can, I think, legitimately hate the newcomers, even while you're among them. It's rapid.
Everybody, you guys can see Annette Mullaney every Monday at the... Yeah, take the... She says no. Every Monday at the Mission Hill Saloon. She runs a great show. You can see her all over San Francisco. She's one of the comedians to watch. She was in the SF Gate. She's amazing. Where else can they find you?
You can find me at Instagram, ho_grammar, as in a lady bro grammar. Or, I run a monthly show at Mission Hill Saloon. Check that out.
Woo! Yay, Annette Mullaney, yay! Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I didn't smoke this great stuff. I love outdoor. I love the way outdoor tastes.
Blackberry Kush.
Blackberry Kush outdoor. I love it. It's tasty as fuck. I'm sorry. I'm coughing into this barcast. Sorry, you guys, but I'm serious. Tonight, I'd like to talk. Hey, Annette, have fun at La Raca's. I'm going to head over there later. Yay. There's a new show every Tuesday at La Raca's. Marty Cunney runs it. We're really excited to be doing comedy there later. Your next comedian, I mean, he has actual jokes about this kind of stuff. You guys, I'm super excited to bring up your next dude. Put your hands together for Matthew Quirk.
All right, we can do a little of both. First of all, we called that shit Mersh when I was growing up.
Mersh?
Mersh, short for commercial weed. Mersh. And what do you call it? Bammer was some word that was invented when I was like 38 or something like that. I also spent a long time not buying weed. Not because I'm a hot chick, but because I was a grower of note. In Oakland during the medical marijuana days, yeah. I definitely made more money on marijuana than I have spent on marijuana for my lifetime at this point. But none of these people know me. They don't know who I am. Nobody recognizes the older generation. Mulaney was right that the next generation comes in so fast that you're just buried with history that people talk about the deep, dark past. You know, 2007. You know, and it's just like, what? No, man. Of course, people are laughing at me. I'm talking about the deep, dark past, you know, 1996. And they're like, you mean 76? That's the past, dude. You know, so every generation has the same opinion. Yeah, but speaking of generations, she doesn't want to podcast with me. She wants me to just tell jokes.
Matthew Quirk is the perfect, the whole reason of our theme tonight is because of his jokes and how he feels about the next generation and how we feel as an older generation that used to really be like Indians with our weed, like feathers, not dots. And I don't mean to be racist, but I'm like, we used every part of the weed. You know what I'm saying? Like every part. I put my stems into alcohol. Like when they'd have nothing else on them, I'd be putting all my stems in a jar and adding vodka and just letting it sit for 4 weeks and be like, I know I'm getting something out of those stems. I know there's something there. And this is before we knew about CBD or THCA or CBN or any of the other cannabinoids that are in the plant. Yeah. But I was still like, these stems are meaningful and I'm putting them in a jar, a mason jar, and I'd fill up the whole mason jar and then I'd pour vodka over it. And this was in like 98.
Yeah, for sure. That's an excellent analogy, using every part of the weed. I mean, anybody listening? Who here, clap if you remember 1987. Yeah. The year America ran out of weed. Man, back then we used to fucking like collect the oil out of a pipe and smoke that black shit and get a little buzz off of it. I mean, junkies who were reusing cotton would laugh at us, you know? But now, look at this fucking 37 different kinds of fucking chronic here, not to mention the dabs and the fucking shatters and the goos and which kind of extract. Now they got them encapsulated into these cartridges. Man, it's like gun terminology. But even like you're saying, like the worst shit here is better than the best shit I could have got in 1985. For real. And while we're on it, that cat piss smell is the smell of the first bacteria that's infecting your weed. It gives off a cat piss smell. That shit was old and tired. You just didn't know any better. Gave you a headache and you thought you were getting high. Cat piss weed. What does Mulaney know about cat piss weed? She just started smoking weed.
Mulaney smokes weed?
No, Annette. Oh,
I thought we were creating slander saying that the first lady smokes weed. That would be wicked cool. Like, I want to see Melania take a fat, like, dab rip and then be like, he's such an asshole.
Yeah. But, you know, but it's true. You got to build up a tolerance. I mean, even if you want to dabble in weed around here, you got to have, you know, your sea legs with this stuff. It's so powerful. I mean, people in there, all this vaping and you know. When I was first coming up, they were making this shit in their garage with like a cigarette lighter from a car and like a dimmer switch from like your dining room and a fishbowl to collect the steam that was coming off. And it was just like handymen were just like whipping out the technology. Now it comes with its own non-sticky bag, all specialized. A leak-proof breathing hole. It's amazing. There's magnets in there too, isn't there? There's magnets. They're using magnets. That's how technological it is, magnets. Yeah, but it's at the same time, it's totally jumped the shark. I mean, 420 is entirely played out, you know? It's no longer dangerous or cool. I'm looking at people posing, smoking a blunt like they're cool. You can vape in the library now. It's totally, here, you talk.
No. Yeah, you take the what is our thing again? We're just, the kush, the raspberry, God, see what the weed does? I have no idea. Blackberry kush, we're smoking the marigold. Matthew Quirk is here. He's an old man. He's been smoking weed since you were, what year did you start smoking weed?
I believe it was 1984. I was still in high school. No. So that's like the ice ages relative to, yeah. Where you were so happy to get brown frown, you were just like, yeah, we're scoring, you know. If you ever got like green weed, it would feel like your teeth were being forced out of your head. You were like so high.
I have something to say about the just say no to drugs. All the just say no to drugs things made me want to do when I was a kid was take drugs. Like when they came into our classrooms, and I remember when they came in, I remember specifically in fifth grade, and when they stuck us all down and they were talking about drugs, and I was like, oh my God, I want to try all of these things. I mean, I don't know if, I don't know how to do education right, but I don't think that they did in 85 when they taught me about. So the craziest thing, I was a teacher in 2000, no, not before that, 98. And I was in Ocean Shores continuation, and it was in Oceanside. And the police came in, and they taught us, like, what drugs were. And it was crazy. I'm just saying, I had no idea. And they talked so much about weed. And anyways, we're in a new genre, a new age, and everything is, I mean, it's only, how old are you?
50.
Okay, so in your 50 years, we've gone from pure prohibition to pure, like, legality.
Recreation.
recreational. Like, that's got to be weird, right?
Yes, it is. And that's why I say it sort of jumped the shark. I mean, now corporations are in it. One of the major Republican political figures who just retired is now backing its legalization because a company he works for is like into like mass producing it or something. And it's like, it's completely turned around. Now it's a product to be mass produced. And, you know, everything about it has changed. Like you wanted me to say about, you know, we used to be like Homo sapiens looking each other in the eye as we passed the joint around. And, you know, we'd save the roaches and hoard them till Sunday, you know? And now everyone's got their individual fucking vape pens and they're all like a bunch of Homo sativas and Homo indicas just devolving before our eyes, you know? It's a whole new world. It's a brave new world. And you'll get your chance, Warhol. But the botany, you know, Michael Pollan, you familiar with the author Michael Pollan?
Absolutely, yeah.
He just did a thing on psilocybin and such, but he also had a chapter in one of his books, The Botany of Desire, on cannabis. And he made the point that the most cutting edge biologists and plant, you know, researchers are in an underground dungeon somewhere growing, you know, splicing cannabis at the genetic level. A big brain drain has been gone towards this plant. And now that it's legalized, all that technology can be brought out, you know?
Well, I mean, there are things that have come out. Oh, we all have an endocannabinoid system. That's exciting. What the fuck does that mean? Oh, we have like a thing that's in our body that just connects with this plant in so many different ways. Oh my God, there's different cannabinoids in this plant that do different things for our bodies. And we're finally like going, oh, we have the science to figure this out. But if you look back 5,000 years ago in the first Chinese pharmacology texts, they mention cannabis and they talk about it as a medicinal plant. So it's like we've had this sort of internal knowledge and we've subjugated it because it didn't fit into our capitalistic ideals for so long. Because hemp, because the DuPont came in with the nylon and they made nylon ropes for ships at the time where the hemp breaker was made, and they were like, oh, we can make hemp really easily. Now they're like, no, we can make nylon, it's easier. Ah, hemp is bad, marijuana is bad. So it's like, like maybe there is, I don't know if we believe in God or if we believe in stuff, but like maybe there is like a nature thing where man and cannabis are supposed to live together. And like, I don't know, this is crazy talk, but I think that male and female plants should live together. I know that for, this is heretical talk right now that I say that male and female plants should live together, but because of course we want the female plants to live alone so they can make those beautiful buds that we smoke and we love it and we love all of it. Yes. But like, what medicinal benefits would there be if we were letting the male and the female plants hang out together? And like, would that be, would they even make cannabinoids we don't even know of? Ah!
You know, I believe Mary Jane has been having her Me Too moment for quite a while now. And like, you know, she's certainly shown that she don't need a man around to for her to achieve her greatness. So I might be against your meeting of the sexes there. No, I've always been a big proponent of seeds and what they can do for the plant. But, you know, it's not just like the cannabinoid system and such. It's, you know, plant technology. You know, we still have a big carbon dioxide problem that we need plants to, yes, that have a heavy draw for it. And, you know, so too with like water usage and, you know, a lot of the technology of like aeroponics and such, hydroponics and then to aeroponics, was actually for cannabis and then sort of leaked out into the real world for real world uses.
What is aeroponics?
Aeroponics are like the roots in like a mist. They're not even in water. So, I mean, think of how much, you know, if you were to put a plant's roots in water, how much of that water is really being used by the plants and how much of that water is sitting around doing nothing, right? And most of it is. So if you can keep it in a mist and still grow it, it's, you know, places like the Middle East or desert areas can still, wow, you know, be green with the little water that they have, you know. Yeah, because it's
fish and aquatics move the water and also that's hydroponics.
Yeah, but still, it's another example of how, like, you know, multiplying the uses.
The way they're doing it, and I've heard people are buying places in Detroit because it's so cheap, and they're making aquaculture, so they have fish growing in the water, and then they have plants growing, and I don't think they can grow weed there, so it's like lettuce and shit.
Yeah.
But
food,
right, food, whatever.
More.
But that the fish poop, and then the plants eat the poop. And then they grow, and then it's like a closed system. But if we could do that here with, like, fucking tilapia and weed, ha ha!
I want to pack you in.
Yeah, yeah, pack it, honey. We need to do more of the product highlight. We need to talk more about the blueberry kush. Did you try it? Did you like it?
Yeah, good. I liked it, but it's hard to tell how much I like it when it's vaped because it's like relatively flavorless. I'm still basically a smoker, you know.
So you feel like whenever you do a vape, you get no terpenes and it just is pointless.
It's a very much lighter flavor. I'd really have to be paying attention to the flavor. I probably have to have a strong flavor profile to really make an imprint on me, or a particular one, relative, you know, to everything. Yeah, but that's, you know, that's right about the aquaculture and such. They used to be quite common, actually, that most decently sized or aware cultures would have stuff like that. Certainly, the Mayans, or was it the Aztecs? Who? Mexico City. That's the Mayans, right?
No,
they were on a lake bed. That was the Aztecs.
Yeah.
They were on a lake bed, and they had, like, they would definitely do that, like, use the fish to fertilize plants, and they had floating gardens. And there's probably other cultures that did it, that had stuff like that, and would do a kind of, like, aqua farming one way or another. Certainly seaweed is used in a lot of cultures as fertilizer. And I think I remember as a kid learning that even on the East Coast, American Indians would put a dead fish in,
right,
with to grow it. So it's rediscovering that technology.
Highlight.
And originally in the United States, one of the first laws that was created was that when you grew corn, you had to grow corn and hemp side by side, because hemp remediated the soil from the corn. So
building.
It was like it was a whole thing.
Yeah, nitrogen
that you
versus nitrogen.
But it's like one of the first laws, and that our constitution was written on hemp. All of that is very interesting. Like we used the plant in the past, and then we demonized it, and now we're like yeah, remember how it's awesome. He says to fight the powers that be, right? Like, I mean, why did we decide, what happened that we're like, weed is bad? Like, what, it makes you think about your life more? Like, what? Like, it gives me a perspective that usually when I'm freaking out and I smoke a little weed, I'm like, you know, everything's pretty cool. Like, I still have hot and cold running water and a toilet that flushes, so life is pretty fucking good, you know? Like, right? Sometimes weed gives you perspective, and I appreciate it for that. I don't know, there's so many other medicinal benefits and I don't know, other things, but I like it for mental health.
Matthew?
Yeah, it's great for mental health, but sometimes. Well, you know, the...
it's the best mental health!
Well, someone put...
Give her the microphone.
Oh, here.
Give her the microphone. Honey, give her the microphone. Talk about it. Do you have mental health issues or anything like that? Yeah.
I have always used marijuana as a mild antidepressant and a mild tranquilizer. It's better than the crap the pharmaceutical companies make, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Got to do away with the pharmaceutical companies and the insurance companies and get single-payer universal health care, which every other country in the world offers. You want good health care? Go to Cuba.
Cuba?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yay!
In Canada.
Thank you.
The weed is good. I just left everything on. Andrea.
Andrea is here, and thank you so much for visiting. And we're here every Tuesday. We do this, and Pam Benjamin's doing.
Oh yeah.
About to keep the Hate Street one.
Oh yes. Oh, gotcha. Oh. Thank you. Thank you for helping. That we all have to support.
And I'm so, do we know who the mayor is yet?
No.
We still don't know who the mayor is. It is so close. It's crazy. How does it? I am too. I'm a socialist. I'm so glad you're a socialist. If there's still going to be, well, hopefully we'll have a socialist mayor. Well, there's no social. Well. Well, I'm a utopian socialist, but I know that that doesn't work because they only exist in small communities, and they only exist within the system that already exists. Like, how do we take over the whole system? Like, is it possible without revolution? No. But when are we gonna fight, and what are we gonna fight for? And are we really willing to, like, the only thing I'd be willing to go to jail for was weed. Like, that was, like, and I'm so glad it's legal now, because that's something that I, back in the day, be like, yeah, I will put myself down for this. I will say, yeah, this is something that I think is important, and it's mental health for me, and it's life positivity, and... Okay, I'm a recovering alcoholic, and I know that over the years, weed, or pot, as we called it, kept me from drinking. I would have drunk a lot more and probably be dead. Because, but the weed saves me, right? Saved me. Yeah, cessation. Yeah, no, but we. But they're saying that now, that they can use marijuana in not only alcohol. Recession isn't the word. It's. I just said it, but then I forgot it. But same thing with heroin. They can. It's cessation. Cessation. Alcohol cessation, or like opiate cessation. You can use marijuana in, but it's because it's a mindset, right? Like, in, if you,
no,
be esoteric.
My mother was so right wing. She still hasn't figured. Well, she's dead now, but before she died, she never figured out what Nixon did that was wrong.
Oh, wow.
And I'll never forget that Nixon holding up that brick, and my mother going on for hours about how marijuana would be the end of civilization as we knew it. They love Vietnam and all of this. And this cousin of mine, who turned out to be a judge, said, yeah, remember what happened when they dropped the joint on Hiroshima?
Crazy. Crazy. No, my parents still don't talk to me because, oh, yay, yay, socialism. Freedom socialist, you guys. Voice of revolutionary feminism. You guys give me, I'm on your email list. Absolutely. I'm down with you guys. Like, it's...
No, it's about Trump. It's political.
No, don't talk about it. It's fine.
Well, I was just, all right.
So it's a Sparkcast. It's all good. You, about freedom socialist and the thing about...
Anyway, dead air. We have dead air.
Christ, are we live?
Well, we're recording it, and we play it live on the radio tomorrow.
Do you have a button that can edit all this?
No, it's all good.
Oh, I see.
No, it's great.
See.
This is part of the joy.
What was I...
You were talking about this.
Oh, our last edition of the Freedom Socialist newspaper, The Voice of Revolutionary Feminism, had an article. The lead article was impeachment. Is it the right solution? So nobody likes Trump. We all want him out. But if he were impeached, we went through this whole kind of thing, we'd then have President Pence.
We'd have Pence.
Even he's an evangelical.
He doesn't believe in dinosaurs.
Oh, I know. Oh, I... Holocaust deniers and these anti-Darwinian types. Now, you know, Darwin, not everything he said was right, like Freud.
Right, it's just
going to be the same. Yes, yeah, same right. As Freud. He's largely dispelled a lot of his theories, but he led the way for at least speaking about this new open subject and speaking about infantile sexuality. People didn't believe that children are sexual in any way. But in a Western culture, which is removed from the earth, you know, like all the native cultures are, in this culture of a state that's held together by the Department of Injustice and all that's going on, so we've got to overturn capitalism.
Well... Back to children being sexual, I'm a nanny and I hang out with 18-month-old boys, and if you put them in 6 inches of water, they will play with their dick, and they will clean out all that schmegma, so they will just get it done. And they are sex, and they will, small children will masturbate, and when you read a book like Brave New World, and they talk about like, oh, the small children and stuff, it's... I think that in the United States, we like negate sexuality in a strange way. But hey, you could smoke a little weed, and isn't that so much better to have sex on weed? This is an adult podcast. We can talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and about the children, the ones who are masturbate or play with their other little mates, parents stand around and think that's great. These are native societies. They don't have pedophiles, you know. And as you were saying before, I did professional child care. That is so comforting to little boys. Red Fox once had a joke. He said, "We were so poor when I was a little boy. If I wasn't a little boy, we were so poor. If I wasn't a little boy, I wouldn't have had anything to play with." That's it. I really have to go. It's been divine.
Thank you so much. Yay! Thank you for being here. Yay! Thank you! We have one last comedian tonight. He's a hilarious guy. You guys are going to love him. Put your hands together for Warhol Kaufman! Yay! We have no idea. Some people have been talking, some people have been doing jokes. You can do whatever you want.
Oh, man, so many great comics. So many great comics. Matthew Quirk, proof that talent is no substitute for hard work. I was going to just talk about the first time I came out and smoked Cali weed, because I used to spend time in Ohio in college when I first started smoking. And we're smoking Mexican brick weed, you know. Like, if you're really lucky, it's brown. Otherwise, you don't even, what color is that? I can't even identify what's happening here. Was this ever alive? So you're smoking it, and you're like, oh, I have a headache, let's drink now. You know, that's how we used to party. It was good stuff. But I came out, on a community service grant, and I was chilling, I was exploited. Honestly, but I used to go to Ben and Jerry's every day. I would just walk in, and like the manager Frank was hella cool. I'd be like, "Hey Frank, what's up?" And he'd be like, "Here's your chocolate milkshake." Luckily, I was broke enough. I still like lost weight somehow. I don't really understand. Youth is wasted. Am I wrong? My youth was wasted on being wasted.
You had free milkshakes?
I got free milkshakes. I also got a free piece of fabric, because I was walking past this fabric store and I saw this woman who was like so fine. And I was like, I need some fabric. So I walked in the fabric store and I like walked around like, I'm very subtle. I'm very, oh, hello. She's like, oh, do you need help? I'm like, I need some fabric. She was like, what kind of fabric do you need? It's like, I'll know it when I see it. So we walk around a little fabric. I found this like electric, like leopard, psychedelic kind of print. And I was like, that's the one. She was like, how much fabric do you need? I never bought fabric before in my life. I was just like, apparently it's by yards. I was like 3x4 yards. So she just like pulled out 3x4 yards, cut it for me, folded it up, took it to the front, rang it up, handed me the receipt. It said $0. And she gave me her phone number. So this is all irrelevant to the story that I'm going to tell you. It's just we're setting it up. But anyway, so I land on the plane, and I've been thinking about coming to California since I was like 7. So I land and I'm walking around like I, after we get off BART, you know, we being me and the voices. And I got off and I'm walking around and I'm like, this makes sense. I finally feel like something makes sense for the first time in my fucking life. So I go and I'm staying in the Berkeley Co-ops at a place called Casa Zimbabwe, where I was definitely the blackest one there, but that's irrelevant. Yeah, I spent 2 months at Casa Zimbabwe. You know, times were weird. I read a lot of Snow Crash, but I remember the first time I smoked weed after I landed, but I don't remember anything after.
Warhol Kaufman, everyone. Yay! Yay! We've done it. We've had another fun Sparkast. We did it. We smoked the Marigold Blackberry Kush. It was fun. We love the outdoor. I mean, that was a product highlight. We had Warhol Kaufman, Clay Newman, Annette Mullaney, and Matthew Quirk. We also had Cool Lady show up and Jonathan hanging out. I think it was Andrea, but I'm guessing. But rad, like, super cool. Hey, everybody, come to Spark all the time. It's a really cool place to hang out. Really nice people. Really great vapes. Friday, Saturday, Sunday from 4:20 on, you can smoke pipes inside. Ha ha ha, what? When we gonna set up a comedy show on a Saturday night? What? Oh man, smoke the weed. I really love it here. I'm glad you guys all joined us. Every Tuesday, join us on the Sparkcast here live. Spark, in between 8th and 9th on Mission, okay? I've been your host, Pam Benjamin. Bye, everybody. Yay, bye. Go to Spark, yay!
Hey, everybody. You're listening to Not My Show. We're at Bender's, and it's fun, and we're hanging out here at Counter Offer. Oh, Greg just moved around. He doesn't want to be involved in that. Whatever. It's cool. The last beer.